is now in session.
This episode of DG Courtroom is sponsored by Draft, a daily fantasy app where your chances of winning are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. On Draft, it's draft day every day. You can do a simple snake draft for one day whenever you want. Drafts take just minutes to complete. Download Draft now. Be sure to enter the promo code DFBPOD when you download to get a 100% deposit bonus. And with that, we are off. Welcome to the show for Monday, February 27th, 2017. A new week is here. The judge is back. I already sense glory in the air this week. Hopefully you guys had a very nice weekend. My weekend was very beautiful, kind of like the weather in New York City, at least on Friday and Saturday. It was especially beautiful in terms of DFS. Sunday was okay, but overall fantastic. Cannot complain. Hopefully you guys had a good weekend in real life and in the land of fantasy as well. Monday is a really nice 7-game slate. I can't decide if I love the slate or if I am just find it super tricky and am intrigued by the slate. But as the show goes along today, hopefully we will figure that out together. Before we start the show, please rate, review, subscribe to the podcast. Lots of new listeners out there, so thank you all for joining the judge and DG Courtroom for this week. And remember, little things like this really do help the podcast. I'm like the little engine that could. A little podcast like this, we started out with a couple hundred listeners. Now we're at, what, $8,000 listeners some days. But I can't do it alone. I mean, you guys can really help me out by doing, even though it seems small, rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. So please take a moment out of your day. Do it while you're listening to the podcast and just write a nice little rating for me. It would be much appreciated. Also, you can help me by when I tweet out the show. I know everyone's initial inclination is to hit the – first of all, on Twitter, is it still called a favorite button or is it now a like button? I heard that they were talking about changing that. But I know your initial inclination is going to be to hit the like button or the favorite button, whatever button it is. Instead, hit that glorious RT button. Please retweet the show whenever I do tweet it out so we can expand the listener base, which helps me and hopefully makes – it's good for you guys too, because then there'll be more shows ultimately. I also want to note for you guys, in the next coming weeks, I'm pretty pumped because we have two really good guests lined up. One of them is Andy Larson, who I think, at least I'm going to record, I think, the podcast on Wednesday. I'm not sure when I'm going to release it for you guys. Maybe I'll do like a special weekend edition of DG Courtroom and release it over the weekend. But he is a Utah Jazz beat writer, and he also works for the ESPN True Hoop affiliate. For the Utah Jazz. He's also a radio host of like ESPN 700. So big time guest that the judge is getting now. That's how you know we are becoming important. We are becoming relevant. But in all seriousness, it will be really cool to get a beat writer on here. Not to mention Andy Larson, who's a beat writer for the Jazz. Because as you guys know, what's one team that is a big puzzle for us and very hard to roster in DFS? That's Utah. I mean, Utah drives us insane, right? So I can't wait to get his expertise on a bunch of different topics, but especially Utah, and he can kind of shed some insight onto their pace, onto guys like Derek Favors, you know, Gordon Hayward, you know, I have questions like, why doesn't Dante Exum get minutes? You know, things like that. So I think they're like, my prediction is before this year ends, me or someone listening right now, we will take down GPPs with some Utah Jazz players. Hopefully it'll be me or one of you. Hopefully it will not be someone listening to Roto Trash, but I feel it coming, man. So hopefully Andy can shed some light on what to do with the Utah guys. That'll be really cool. I'm also, I think the following week, going to have a guest, a surprise guest who I won't name right now, who has been to the Playboy Mansion. He's won, I think, over around 350 grand in DFS earnings, and he's taken down some monster tournaments. And originally I didn't want to have him on the show. Because as you guys know, like I think just because you make a live final and you make money in DFS doesn't mean you really have any, you know, credibility in giving the average player who plays, you know, what, 1, 5, 10 lineups a night and, you know, any advice whatsoever. But I spoke to him on the phone and I mean, I think he fits right in line with kind of the with what I'm trying to do for the show. So I think he's going to be a great guest. Plus, it's just going to be cool to talk to someone who's taken down those monster GPPs. Not to mention, let's face it, Playboy Mansion, we can just do a whole show on that. I mean, Google alert for CJ Miles. And maybe during that show, you just Google CJ Miles, and then you listen to that podcast, you know, while you're looking at that photo. So that will be really cool. I'm looking forward to both of those guests. Also, as was mentioned last week, man, behind the scenes, there's tons of stuff going on. And we have been working really hard to put up a new website for you guys. And it's just about ready to be launched. It's going to be in the next day or so. We're also going to start doing really cool things. I think I'm going to start doing a live show once a week. I think it's going to be on Fridays. I'm still wavering on a couple different details. So hopefully I can announce that. Hopefully on tomorrow's podcast, make that official. And hopefully the new website can be up Tuesday at the latest Wednesday. So look for that. Really looking forward to that. Not only me, but some other people have been working really hard behind the scenes to get that up and running. Also, I'm very excited that the sponsor Draft is back with DG Courtroom. As you guys know, I love that the app. So please, if you haven't downloaded it, there's a lot of new listeners out there. So please download the app Draft. And when you do, use the promo code DFBPOD. Remember, if you cannot find out where to put the promo code, just send me a tweet at DanielAGreen1, or you can email me. If you can go, right now, you can go to dgcourtroomdfs.com. The new website is just going to be dgcourtroom.com. But just holler at me, and I will make sure. And let me know what your username is on the app, and then I will make sure you get credit for it. And the judge gets credit for it as well. So let's see how many. Let's try to get some new people signed up for the app. I'm telling you, it's a. I'm not just saying because they're a sponsor. I play all the time. It's basically doing snake drafts. You pick two guards, two forwards, one center. It takes like a minute or two to do the draft. Real easy to do. So please do that. Also, if you've been listening to the show for a while, you probably have seen that every Wednesday we unleash Judge of Chambers bracket on Draft. And that I think will be back again this Wednesday. It's probably going to be 128 spots, a $10 entry fee, but it's 7 days. Each day is a head-to-head battle. You know, it's bracket style, like the NCAA tournament. Just tons of fun. So I'm looking forward to that. So please, and if you do enter that, let me know, because the judge wants to know which listeners are entering those tournaments as well. I'd love to keep track of all that stuff. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Chambers. So what is Chambers? Chambers is basically just a tournament, a DFS tournament that we run on FanDuel, on DraftKings, on Draft, that has some of the best players in DFS across the entire land. And we usually run three on FanDuel, 20 people each, one on DraftKings with 50 spots. The winners on Sunday on FanDuel, we had Armando Cosme put up a nice score of 338 on Sunday. His third win of the year, his 12th cash. And then Slappy DFS, or Slappy 1975, I think he goes by his name on Twitter, his sixth win and 16th cash. And we also have power rankings for Chambers. I think Slappy is ranked, I think he's like third or fourth in the power rankings. On DraftKings, congrats to Bay Ridge Bookie, put up a score of 317. And then Guru 5050 took second, and T-Spear took third. Also, let us give a shout out to the winners on Friday and Saturday, because I feel it's a little unfair, right? Because if you do win on Friday or Saturday, Chambers, there's no show. There's no podcast on the weekends right now. So a quick shout out to What Up Doe 88. He T1 the DraftKings Chambers on Saturday. And on Friday, Too Tall Jamal won the DraftKings Chambers. On FanDuel, the judge, I was fortunate enough to take down all of the Chambers on FanDuel on both Friday and Saturday night. And so hopefully, you know, I had a lot of you guys following with me on Twitter. I was in the hunt to take down some decent sized tournaments on both Friday and Saturday. And it was a lot of fun. So I know a lot of you on Twitter were following with me. I think I finished on Friday. I think it was third in the $10 single entry. And then on Saturday, I think I finished maybe fourth in the $25 single entry and sixth in the $10 single entry. So I think total I made, you know, close to about four grand, or like 3,500, you know, on all sites for those 2 days, which was cool. I mean, it was interesting at the time, like, and if you play DFS long enough, you've been there. I mean, you get brutal losses where things happen that you're just like, that's not possible. You think you're going to take down a tournament, you're pretty close. And then weird bounces happen on, for me, on both nights, something bizarre happened. On Friday night, so I was actually in first place, and I was feeling pretty confident. Confidence you can feel, you know, when you know you're sitting on top of the leaderboard with still like a whole game to play. But one guy who I was not, like, Brooklyn was playing Denver, and that game wasn't on my radar because Brooklyn was up. Actually, sorry, Denver was up over 20 points going into the fourth quarter. So I figured, you know, all the starters are going to be rested. I didn't have to worry about anyone else from that game. But slowly but surely, I see like people creeping up the leaderboard as Gary Harris, like Mike Malone, captain Gary Harris in the fourth quarter. And Gary Harris starts hitting some threes. And slowly, I'm still in first, but I see guys creeping up the leaderboard to ninth, eighth, seventh. Meanwhile, Gary Harris is bombing away, which is funny because if you watch Denver play, they have so many scores. There's certain games where Gary Harris stands in a corner and doesn't touch the ball for about, you know, 8-9 minutes straight. This was not one of those games. He also had his career high that game, go figure. Anyway, long story short, Denver gets up 30, freaking 30 points, and Mike Malone keeps in Gary Harris with 6 minutes to go in the game. Now it's not the fourth quarter. It's 6 minutes to go, and I'm thinking to myself, what? This cannot be happening to me. And sure enough, Gary Harris with 6 minutes left. I have a 2-point lead. Still, I'm in first place in the $10 single entry tournament. Gary Harris lines up like a 28-foot three-pointer for no reason at all. Shot clock's winding down. He drains it. I go from first to third, and that's where I ended the night. I ended the night in third place, and I went from, you know, potentially winning I forgot what first place was, like, you know, a couple grand or $2,500 to $1,000 or something like that. So that was frustrating. I've never seen a coach, and maybe you guys tweet, if you can find me an example of this, please tweet at me at Daniel A. Green 1. Do you ever remember a freaking coach leaving a player in a game up 30 with 6 minutes to go in the fourth quarter? I've never seen that. I was flabbergasted. Like, I couldn't sleep that entire freaking night. And I had no one to talk to. The bailiff didn't listen. He didn't care. I was wired about, I fell asleep, I think at 7 a.m. I just could not sleep. Anyway, and then on Saturday night, I was, you know, climbing up the leaderboard, got to what, third, fourth place, something like that, in like the $25 single entry tournament. I had Rondae Hollis Jefferson, who was having the game of his life. The game, he was playing phenomenal against Golden State. And Brooklyn was keeping that game close against Golden State. Durant was out. And Hollis Jefferson, through three quarters, had only played 20 minutes. And he had like 30 Vandal points, had 16 points, 10 assists, or 10 rebounds, like a block, a steal, an assist. He was just, if you were watching that game, he was the best player on the court out of everyone, out of like Curry. He was phenomenal. It was pretty remarkable to see. That's a perfect style game for him because he's like Brooklyn's most athletic guy by far. So it was pretty interesting to see. So I was like, all right, when he gets back in the game in the fourth quarter, I'm going to dominate these GPPs because he was only about 8% owned, and I was the only one at the top of the leaderboard, I think, who had him that night. So I was in phenomenal shape to take down both the $25 single entry and the $10 single entry. But what happens? Coach Atkinson doesn't play Rondae Hollis Jefferson a single mother effing second in the fourth quarter. Not a second. And Brooklyn was in the game. So he ends at the end of the night playing only 20 freaking minutes. It was unbelievable. So back-to-back nights, like the polar opposite things happen. On Friday, you have a coach leaving a player in, and on Saturday, you have a coach not putting a player in. So that's DFS for you. That's my I love it. Hopefully you guys love it too. It's exhilarating. It's awesome to build lineups. It's also just cruel. Just freaking cruel. Anyway, so that was my weekend. All right, let's talk about dream killers and dream lovers for this weekend. Actually, probably just keep it to Sunday. So DeMarcus Cousins was a dream killer, got in foul trouble, only played 21 minutes on Sunday. If you've been watching the Pelicans, and I've watched every game so far with the Cousins, Anthony Davis, that hasn't gone too well so far. But what I think is the most interesting thing is watching them play, you just realize how the rest of their roster sucks. They have, like, Davis and Cousins have both played really well in every game, but they have no one else. And Holiday has been awful. But besides Holiday as their third best player, I mean, who's their fourth best player? Etuan Moore, Dante Cunningham. It's pretty bare. So, yeah, I mean, they need major upgrades. So, like, I'm not sure if they're going to make the playoffs, which is with Cousins and Anthony Davis. But on Cousins, I mean, on Sunday, the good thing about in DFS terms, Cousins and Anthony Davis, their prices are dropping. So I do think we'll be able to play them for the rest of the season. Plus, their usage rates are still pretty high. They haven't fallen off dramatically at all. So Cousins, though, foul trouble was the issue for him on Sunday. Got 21 minutes. He still had 31 points, 10 rebounds, 3 assists, and 1 turnover. So he still put up, I mean, I think it was over 40 Fando points. I mean, that's just how talented he is. But at his price, if you played him, probably didn't make a ton of money. Ish Smith was a big dream killer for me. Of course, this is probably the night I've used Ish the most in a few months since Reggie Jackson came back. How many minutes does Ish Smith get? 14, because Reggie Jackson decided that he wanted to play and Stan Van Gundy wanted to play Reggie a lot of minutes today on Sunday. So if you played Ish Smith like me, you probably had some busted lineups. The only good thing was he was so dirt cheap. I think he still had like, what, 14, 15 FanDuel points and his price. Quite honestly, I was able to cash in a lot of lineups I had him just because he was so cheap. The Charlotte Clippers game was probably the best game on the slate to watch. It went to overtime, but still a lot of guys in that game on the Charlotte side were a mess. MKG, he was just getting abused. We may have to file a police report because what Blake Griffin did to him and that entire Hornets team was pretty outlandish. Just clown them all. MKG fouled out. He could not handle Blake Griffin down low. He was getting bullied. He plays because of his defense. He's certainly not because of his inefficient, non-existent offensive game. So seeing him getting just destroyed defensively was something you don't see very often. That tells you how good Blake Griffin really is. So if you played MKG, that did not work out well. Me, I took a shot with Marco Bellinelli. Remember, small slates, you can do things like that. If it was a 10-game slate, I would take the gavel and I would bang the gavel. Ow, I just banged myself in the gavel as like an example. And I wish you guys could see it. I wish there was video on this show. But yeah, if on a 10-game slate, I played Marco Bellinelli, I would take the gavel and I would palm myself in the head like I just did a couple seconds ago. But on like a 5-6-game slate, yes, you can take chances like that. Unfortunately, Jeremy Lamb decided to go off and he got most of the minutes and not Marco. So if I would have just played Lamb instead of Marco Bellinelli, that would have worked out. But Marco did not work out. Marvin Williams, man, he got a ton of minutes for Charlotte, but I don't remember him touching the ball in the last like 12 to 14 minutes, like touching it at all. Nick Batum got hot. So Batum was taking a lot of shots. Kemba was taking a lot of shots. Lamb was taking a lot of shots. And Frank Kaminsky, before he fouled out, he was taking some shots too. I mean, Marvin Williams, even though he got 35-plus minutes, was utterly disgusting on the court. Just a complete waste of space. Did nothing. Speaking of which, a clone of Marvin Williams was John Luehr. I mean, I'm looking right now, as I speak to you, I'm looking at a sign above my desk. It says, do not, and not's in all caps, do not play John Luehr. What did I do on Sunday? I played John Luehr, and quite honestly, he was a decent play on this slate. Remember, 10-game slates, no, you don't play Luehr. On a 6-game slate, though, yeah, you can play a Luehr. Also, he was dirt cheap. He was getting tons of minutes. I just needed him to give me around 20, 25 FanDuel points. I would have been happy on this slate, but he couldn't even get that. He did nothing. It was useless, as was Tobias Harris as well. But anyway, I had the sign, and as I was clicking on roster and clicking on his name to put him in some lineups, I should have just, looked at my sign. But in all seriousness, that's a horrendous philosophy. You should never feel that way about anyone. Like, you will never, if your philosophy in DFS is I will never play a certain guy, you will not win tournaments. Like, as much as we joke about it, we joke about, hashtag those, I forgot Doug McDermott's name. What do we call him? Oh, hashtag those we don't speak of. As much as we make fun of guys who kill us, part of the way to take down tournaments, those are the guys you play because no one else wants to play them. So they're going to be low owned. And can Luehr give you like a 30 FanDuel point night? Yes, he actually can. Is it likely? No. But, you know, so takedown tournaments, as you guys will, you know, repeatedly hear me say, you need to get guys who are low owned. And on small slates, you know, you got to play guys like Lure. And quite honestly, Lure was like, he was like 30% owned. So he wasn't even a low owned, you know, he was not a guy who was low owned. He was not a contrarian play. He was actually, he was somewhat chalkish on this slate, believe it or not. A guy who killed a lot of lineups was Nurkic. Everyone loves recency bias, right? So if someone sees, you know, someone have a couple good games, let's run and roster this guy. This guy's so great. If you listen to Roto Trash, they'll just promote the hell out of a guy, right? I mean, so I actually posted a video, which I did not, I think the last 2 days I posted a video about an hour before lineup lock, which we'll see if enough of you like that. I can be, because there's a lot changes from the time you guys are listening to this podcast and lineup lock the next day, right? I mean, I'm taping this. It's 4:33 in the morning, believe it or not. And, you know, by 7 p.m. Eastern on Monday, all the injury news comes in. So, you know, as you guys know, who've played NBA DFS for a while now, I mean, the whole entire slate could be different. So I could tape a 5 to 10 minute audio clip for you guys and post it, you know, just post it out via Twitter, giving you my top plays of the day. So that's what I did on Saturday and Sunday. And I warned everyone about two guys, Nurkic and especially PJ Tucker. But Nurkic, you know, I warned everyone on Nurkic because, first of all, we saw Nurkic on Denver start numerous times, right, when he put up duds. Also, Terry Stotts is known to play Russian roulette with his big men. So the last two games have been, you know, especially encouraging. But Nurkic wasn't cheap now. He was about 5.5, 5.6K. At least he was on FanDuel. On DraftKings, I don't remember what his price was. So he was not a lock by any means. And what did he do? I think he picked up two fouls in the first, you know, 2-3 minutes of that game. So he ended up, and as you've heard me say in numerous podcasts, I cannot remember a guy picking up two fouls early in the first quarter and still hitting value. I don't know what goes on psychologically to a player, but they're basically useless the rest of the game. Like, I would love to just, after someone picks up a second foul, like, take them out of the game and bring them right to like a neuroscientist or someone who can measure their brain activity so we can figure out why the hell can't you hit value? Like, what goes on? Like, why can't you still fucking try hard the rest of the game? I don't get it. Anyway, the other guy, Dream Killer, was PJ Tucker. I don't know why I saw so many other sites promoting this guy, and I don't get it. This made me irate. All the NASCAR guys, they were loving PJ Tucker, and I did not get it. I threw my gavel at the TV screen at like 2 o'clock Eastern when I heard one show mentioning that PJ Tucker is a phenomenal play, and they actually used the word phenomenal. You should never; those two things can never be in the same sentence ever. You can never have PJ Tucker. Well, actually, I take that back. You can have PJ Tucker is a phenomenal defender. That's okay. But PJ Tucker and a phenomenal DFS play, that can never be allowed, ever. I don't care if it's a two-game slate. That's just not possible. Like, I'm not sure what everyone saw and why everyone wanted to play PJ Tucker. Like, we've seen him play a million times. He's defensively, he's great. In real life, he's a great asset to any team. But in fantasy terms, he has no offensive game whatsoever. He's not really a good three-point shooter. He can't create his own shot. He's not even starting for Toronto, so he's not even locked into a set number of minutes. So there really was zero reason to be excited to play him. Now, was he an okay play because it was a six-game slate and he was relatively cheap? Sure, I didn't mind the play. But remember, guys like that who have no usage rate, who aren't going to get the ball on offense – what's their upside? I mean, if PJ Tucker had the game of his life, what's he going to give us? 30 FanDuel points, 30 DraftKings points? It just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense to put him in a GPP lineup. So, yeah, it was a fade for me, and I think I played him in maybe one of my 10 or 12 lineups. But yeah, I don't know why everyone loved him so much. If you played him and you loved him, let me know why. I am curious. All right, Dream Lovers. Serge Ibaka, which was somewhat surprising, but who did Toronto play? They played Portland. Who do we attack from Portland? We attack Portland big men. I don't care if they have Nurkic. They don't have Nurkic. Doesn't matter to me. I'm still going to attack them, especially at the power forward position. even though Ibaka plays the four and the five now for Toronto. But Ibaka was tremendous. I mean, he was in some of the winning GPP lineups that I saw. He had close to 40 FanDuel points, which I'm not sure how often that's going to be attainable. Remember, a big reason also because of that was who was out for Toronto? Kyle Lowry. So while everyone jumped in playing DeMar DeRozan, everyone jumped to play Corey Joseph, rightfully so. A guy that a lot of people forgot about, I got to be honest with you, he was kind of off my radar as well. I think I played him in one lineup only, and after I thought about it, that was just an idiotic move by me because Toronto needed one more scorer, and why couldn't it be Serge Ibaka? So I deserve to hit myself with the gavel again for not playing enough of Ibaka on that slate. Let's see. DeRozan was as long as Lowry's out, just play DeRozan, especially in cash. Get him in there. Over a 40% usage rate without Lowry, he was really good again. And the same goes to Corey Joseph. If DeMar's out, just get those two guys in, and then think about playing Ibaka too. Rudy Gobert was really good. He had 20 rebounds against the Wizards. Utah destroyed Washington. That was a pretty interesting game to watch because the Wizards have been playing phenomenal. He also had 15 actual points, which for Rudy Gobert is like having 50 actual points. He had 3 assists, 1 steal, 4 blocks. Really impressive night for him. Let's see. For the Clippers, if you listen to my short 5-10-minute show that I posted an hour before lineup lock, I mentioned Chris Paul. Chris Paul was too cheap on every site across the industry, so he was a phenomenal play, and he was great, and it helped that game went to overtime as well. But him and Blake Griffin were both excellent. Chris Paul had 15 points, 17 assists, 1 steal in 41 minutes, and Blake Griffin had 43 points, 10 rebounds, 3 threes, 5 assists, 2 steals, and 1 turnover. Man, he just could not be stopped. And my sneaky ninja of the night, which I said on my show that I posted via Twitter, was DeAndre Jordan. Because DeAndre Jordan, without Chris Paul, is a different player than he is with Chris Paul. So I had him, especially on DraftKings, where he was a lot cheaper. But on FanDuel, he was somewhat still pricey. I had him at between 1% and 4% in every tournament. So I was able to make some big money with him. Unfortunately, I had him in some lineups where the rest of my guys weren't that great. And Nick Batum. Nick Batum had a bizarre game because if you watch that Charlotte game, he was dreadful in the first half. I think at the end of the first half, he couldn't have had more than 12, 13 FanDuel points or DraftKings points. He was a mess. He was basically just lifeless and passive. He was a tin man, quite honestly. And the second half, he came to life. He had 8 3-pointers in the second half alone. It was I'm not sure what the hell, what kind of drugs he took or energy drink he took during the halftime, but whatever he did, it was pretty phenomenal because he ended the night with 31 points, 8 rebounds, 4 assists, and 1 block. All right. Let's talk injury news for Monday. Golden State is playing, which sucks. What makes it even worse, though, is Kevin Durant, who was out against Brooklyn. So that put some guys in play. If all it takes for the Golden State guys to be pretty good plays is one of those big, you know, Clay, Steph, or Durant, one of those guys to be out. Now, unfortunately, Durant's going to play. So now I hate Golden State again for this slate. Cash games. Tournaments, of course, they're always in play. And they'll probably ruin the slate, and they will be in winning lineups somehow. Embiid is still out with a knee bone bruise, which sucks. But for DFS, means Okafor, guys like Saric, Covington, although their prices are on the rise, you'll see. Noah's still out, so Hernan Gomez and O'Quinn. Lowry is questionable. That's a big one we got to keep our eyes on because obviously if he's out, just lock and load Corey Joseph and DeMar DeRozan. I haven't seen their prices yet, so we'll see if the prices went up. Porzingis, questionable with a sprained ankle. If he's out, Melo becomes an excellent play. Chris Middleton is going to be out due to rest for the Bucks. So Michael Beasley, I'm telling you, could Beasley be in some winning GPP lineups on Monday? Hell to the yes. Avery Bradley, I hear he's really close to returning. He's had a sore Achilles for a year, it seems like. So maybe he'll play. He's questionable, officially questionable, but we'll see. All right, let's take a little a flight to Vegas, shall we? A flight to Vegas. Let's stay at the Bellagio. Oh no, my computer, what's going on? That sucks. The site that I look at for games is not working, so I need a new site. I can adjust on the fly. I'm versatile. All right, so you go to Vegas, what stands out? Indiana, Houston stands out. I mean, it jumps out, it leaps out, it grabs me, it bites me, it gnaws at me. It says, judge, please attack me, use me. A 231 over under with that game. Houston is a 10-point favorite, so possible blowout here. But man, that's a big, big freaking number. Indiana, which is a sneaky team because they're super frustrating to just to watch play and roster in real life because they have the ultimate tin man next to Anthony Davis, which is Paul George. And the more that I watched Paul George play, he may be the captain of the tin man team over Anthony Davis, because I've seen him just give zero effort in so many games this year, or just for long stretches within a game. I mean, I would say at least like once or twice a week, he does an absolute no-show. And if anyone out there can tell me what the hell is going on with him this year, I would love to hear it. I wish they would have traded him because to me, he's been dreadful this year. So if Indiana could have got some, you know, really great draft picks or someone good back, to me, I would have done it. You're never going to – are you going to win a title if Paul George is your best player? No, you are not. Can he be your second best player? I don't even know that anymore. Anyway, this Indiana-Houston game, though, all that goes out the window. I mean, man, because Indiana plays at a pretty fast pace anyway, and now they're playing going to play way up in pace against Houston. Man, I love guys. You could stack the hell out of this game. Also – you got Atlanta, Boston. That's a really interesting, juicy game. 212 over under. We have Minnesota, Sacramento, 211 over under. That's interesting because we got the Sacramento guys. Who's gonna get? Hopefully, we can make sense of who's gonna get the minutes on the show for that team. But it's gonna be a little dicey there. And then we're still waiting on some over unders. We're waiting on Toronto, New York, which will be a good game. Golden State, Philly, which will be an interesting game because that's at Philly. So can Philly keep that maybe relatively close? I don't know. It's Brooklyn. Teams like Brooklyn and Philly, they play hard, man. And Philly, you know, Philly's – I wish Embiid was playing, but they keep most games competitive for them. And so does Brooklyn. So we'll see there. And then Milwaukee, Cleveland as well. Oh, I guess I didn't even mention the biggest one of the day. That's LeBron. It's questionable too, because I guess with strep throat. So if LeBron is out, Kyrie, elite play because Love is out too. All right, let's hop into the plays. All right, let's start with point guard. Isaiah Thomas. It's weird. So normally, like, I just have not been playing Isaiah. I can't remember the last time I rostered him. A couple weeks ago, maybe. He's such a one-trick pony that I just haven't felt the need. And I mean, if you looked at his game on Sunday, it's the epitome of what this guy is. An elite scorer, one of the best scorers that we have in the league. But what else does he do on the court? So he had 33 actual points, but he only had 2 rebounds. He had 3 assists, and he had 44 FanDuel points. For his salary, he needs him to do more than that. Now, the good thing was about a week ago, he was over 10K. So his price has dropped. So that makes him somewhat intriguing to me now because I think he was 9.8K. This is the last time I did a podcast. But what even makes him more intriguing to me on this slate, who does he play? Atlanta. Let me hear it, guys. Who do we attack from Atlanta? Atlanta guards, especially Dennis Schroeder, who is one of the – if I had to list like the top 5 or the worst 5 defenders in the league, at least especially at point guard, Schroeder would definitely be in the top 5, along with probably with Judy Dench, Lillard, Elfrid Payton, guys like that. So Isaiah should be able to feast on Dennis Schroeder. So at 9.3K, do you have to do it in cash? No, but and will I do it in cash? I'm not sure, actually. Right now I'm still on the fence because I guess it would depend. Some of it would depend if Lowry is out and if LeBron is out. But on this slate, I think he's safe for all formats. Because the one good thing about him, while his ceiling is not super high right now these days because he is such a one-trick pony, the floor is pretty safe. He scored over 20 actual points in about 842 straight games. So you can feel safe if you use him in cash games. And I on this slate, because of Atlanta, Dennis Schroeder defense, I think he's fine for all formats. I'm not going to mention much Golden State guys on the show because you know how I feel about Golden State. Tournaments only, tournaments only, tournaments only. Kyrie Irving, if LeBron is out, safe for all formats. If LeBron is playing, I'm not going to pay 9.1K for Kyrie Irving against the Bucks, who play at a really slow pace and who defend the point guard position pretty well. So it all depends on if LeBron's playing. Dragic is 7.7K against Dallas. Yeah, you know what? I've watched Miami the last few games, and I feel no need to play Dragic whatsoever. His minutes have not even been great. They've been like 28, 29 the last two. Remember, Miami's fully healthy now. So they have Tyler Johnson. To everyone's surprise, at least especially mine, Deion Waiters plays a lot of backup point guard as well. He handles the ball a lot. They also, Josh Richardson is now back. So against Dallas, do I feel need to play anyone in Miami-Dallas, with a 200 over-under? No. If there was a game that you could fade, it would be Miami-Dallas. Jeff Teague, 7.3K. I like every Indiana Pacer. So against Houston, with that 230 over-under, that's something that I'm going to take advantage of. I'm going to attack. So I will play a lot of Teague on this slate. Ricky Rubio, 7.2K against Sacramento. I don't mind it. It's okay. If I had to choose between Rubio and Teague, basically the same price, give me Teague for both cash and tournaments. I'll tell you what, though. If you do play Rubio, there's no reason to play Rubio alone. You have to play him with either Wiggins or Towns. Because remember, you're playing Rubio for what? Assists. He's not going to score actual points. So if you play him and you're hoping to take down a tournament, it's because you're hoping he's going to get you, 14, 15, maybe even 16, 17 assists. All of those are going to go to either Wiggins or Towns. So just be smart. And if you want to play Rubio, put him with Wiggins or Towns, who are both good plays on this slate. Dennis Schroeder, 6.5K. I love stacking this Boston Atlanta game. It was the first game when I made a lineup, the first thing I did was I stacked this game, and my two point guards were Isaiah Thomas and Dennis Schroeder. So quite honestly, and also if I'm making my list of worst defenders in the league for point guard, Isaiah's probably on the list too. Isaiah and Dennis Schroeder might be the worst and second worst defenders in the NBA. So Schroeder's safe for all formats. Darren Collison, 6.2K. So two games that Kings have had two games so far without Cousins. He has had 40 and 20 FanDuel points in those two games. Although I think they got blown out by Charlotte. The minutes, I was expecting him to play 35 plus minutes. The minutes have been not as high as I would like, but still, remember, there is no Cousins there, so he has all the usage in the world, all the shots in the world. So at that price, to me, I'm almost happy he's coming off of a bad game. And remember, what do I love? I love recency bias. I love guys who are pretty good basketball players coming off of bad games. So I'm hoping the fact that he's coming off of a bad game, I'm going to get him at some of a lower ownership on this slate, safe for all formats. If you want to go to prison on Monday and play Derrick Rose, 6.1K, you can. The one thing I'll say with this, if Lowry's playing, I don't really feel the need to play Rose at all. If Lowry's out, Corey Joseph is like 4'7" tall. He's a midget, and I like midgets in real life. But for basketball players, they have trouble defending. So if Corey Joseph is starting, I don't mind playing Derrick Rose. But still, I'm not super excited for him ever. Then you got guys like TJ McConnell, Tyler Johnson, Patrick Beverley, Yogi, Ty Lawson. So really under 5K, the only really point guard I truly would want would be Corey Joseph, and he's 4.4K. So obviously Lowry's out, lock and load Corey Joseph. Other than that, I don't need Brogdon. He's not getting enough minutes for me these days. And there's really no one else under the 5K mark that I want as a point guard. Shooting guard, James Harden, 12.1K. The problem on this slate, if Lowry's out, I want DeMar DeRozan in cash games. So can I afford to play DeMar and Harden in my cash games? That would mean I need to play like three or four bums to fill up the rest of my lineup. And I'd be spending a ton of money on my two shooting guards for cash games. So if Lowry's out, I'll probably play DeMar and look elsewhere. But Harden obviously is always an elite play. Indiana Houston, that 230 over under, you can't go wrong having exposure to that game. Harden has 60, 70, 80 FanDuel point upside. With that said, he's looked pretty bad the last two games. Is that, am I truly nervous about it though? Not really. Giannis is 10.9K. He's looked a little better after the All-Star break, a little bit more refreshed. So I have a little bit of interest there. I still would not touch Giannis in cash at 10.9K. If LeBron's out, I do think the Bucks have a better chance of keeping that game close. But Giannis is going to be a tournament-only play for me. Deion Waiters, I'm not paying 7.2K for that buster against Dallas. Also, even though, yes, he has been playing great, but also he's going to get Wes Matthews' defense. You know, I talked about Isaiah Thomas and Dennis Schroeder, horrendous defense. Wes Matthews' other end of the spectrum, his defense is phenomenal. So he should be able to limit Deion Waiters, and I don't want really much exposure at all to that Miami-Dallas game, especially on the Miami side. Lou Williams is 6.3K. I find that revolting, disgusting. Even though he has been really good in his first two games at Houston, he's just not going to get enough minutes to really give you upside at 6.3K. If he was Eric Gordon's price, which we'll get to in a second, then maybe, but not at 6.3K. No, thank you. Marcus Smart, if Avery Bradley is out, I don't mind Marcus Smart against Atlanta guards. If Avery Bradley's back in, that hell no to Marcus Smart. The one thing I'll note is last game I watched Seth Alosha from Atlanta shut down Evan Fournier. Evan Fournier took a crap in his pants. He was mortified to play against Seth Alosha. So I'm curious to see from Atlanta who guards, who they have Seth Alosha guard from on the Celtics. Do they have Seth Alosha guard Isaiah Thomas? If they do, I mean, Isaiah's too quick for Seth Alosha, but Seth Alosha's length might be able to give Isaiah a little trouble. So now, granted, I do not think Seth Alosha will be guarding Marcus Smart either way. But it is something to keep note of. Check the news on Monday and see who Seth Alosha is going to be guarding for Atlanta, because he is a good defender. But Marcus Smart only if Avery Bradley's out, and even then, a little bit. He's fine. Seth Curry, he's been tremendous last couple of games. All the minutes in the world, all the shots in the world, over 30 FanDuel points. So if there's a guy for Dallas that I'll play, it probably would be him. Tyreke Evans, just too expensive at 6K. He's going to play 24 to 26 minutes. Think about it. At that, is he? Can you envision him being in the winning GPP lineup? At that price, I just can't. If he was going to get 32, 34 minutes, then yeah, of course he could for Sacramento. But it's just not enough minutes. So if you want to use him in like a cash game, I guess you can do it. But I just don't think it's enough minutes right now in Sacramento. Wesley Matthews, 5.5K. If you want to pivot off of Curry and go Wes Matthews, it's okay. But the usage rate lately has been really down low, especially, I mean, Barnes is a better option on offense, Nowitzki, then Seth Curry. I mean, Wes Matthews is maybe their fourth best option these days. Tim Hardaway Jr. Tournaments only, Seth Alosha is back. So of course, Tim Hardaway Jr. as my phone just slams down and falls off the desk. So Tim Hardaway Jr. has suffered the last couple games with Seth Alosha's return. So has Kent Bazemore. With that said, Tim Hardaway Jr., I always will lock and load in a couple tournaments. So if I have like 10 lineups, maybe I'd play in two tournaments, but not a good matchup for him because he's going to get either Marcus Smart or Avery Bradley defense. But for tournaments, of course, Eric Gordon. Look, if I'm going to play Lou Williams or Eric Gordon, they're basically the same exact player. They're going to play the like same exact minutes, except, you know, actually Eric Gordon's going to get more minutes. Eric Gordon will get close to, 28 to 30 minutes. And they're going to get pretty similar shots. So I can play Eric Gordon and save $1,000. So give me Eric Gordon over Lou Williams any day of the week. And I really like the Eric Gordon play because I want exposure to this Indiana Houston game. Monte Ellis, again, another cheap way to get exposure to Indiana Houston. And Monte Ellis has taken some steroids and he's looked somewhat relevant and a lot better in the last couple of weeks. So I don't mind the Monte Ellis play. Other than that, under 5K, Buddy Hield. I think Buddy Hield's safe for all formats. Now, do you want to, if you don't want to use him in cash, I get it, but he's cheap. He's 4.6K. So even if he only gives you 15, 18 Fanduel points, that's not going to kill your lineups. And he could give you maybe close to 30 Fanduel points, I think is the ceiling. So I don't mind that play. And I do think eventually Sacramento is going to, they're going to unleash him and give him 30 plus minutes. Is that going to happen Monday? I don't know. Other than that, you got guys like Stauskas and Holiday. And that's about it. Shumpert down there, shooting guard. All right, small forward. So remember, LeBron, just check the injury news. Andrew Wiggins, 8.6K. Melo's 8.2K. Both those guys, pretty similar. Both one-trick ponies. Wiggins has played phenomenal since Zach LaVine has been out. But, you know, last game, 30 actual points, 35 Fanduel points. Now at his price, he's got to be giving us, you know, what, 45 Fanduel points to feel good about it? Can he do that? Sure. But if Porzingis is going to be out, then to me, Melo and Wiggins are pretty close on this slate. So then I would look to usage rate, and I would look to something like pace. Melo's got has a higher usage rate without Porzingis, and he's going to be played a faster paced game against Toronto, whereas Wiggins gets Sacramento. So I guess for a tournament, I probably would prefer Carmelo to Wiggins in this slate. Although Wiggins has been playing phenomenal, like both those guys. Paul George, 7.8K. He's a man of mystery to me. He's a tin man. I don't get it. I'm just constantly perplexed watching him play, stand in a corner and do nothing. Last game, I think he got, what, like 10 Fanduel points, 8 Fanduel points, something ridiculous. With that said, it's at Houston, 230 over-under. I love playing guys who have killed you all year long who have because of recency bias. And would I play him in cash games? Hell no. But would I load up on him in tournaments? Maybe load up is the wrong term, but will I play a decent amount of him in tournaments? Of course I will. He still has upside. Lord Covington. So the price is scary now. It's 7.1K, and that's expensive. That's no joke. But if you're watching Philadelphia play, since they traded Ersan, Covington and Saric, they do so much on the court. And Covington is everywhere on both ends of the court. So if Philly can keep this game close against Golden State, it's going to be because Covington has a really good game, and guys like Saric have a good game, and probably even the bum Okafor as well. So would I feel safe about using Covington in cash games? Nah, I'm on the fence on that one, but an elite tournament play. And the best part about him is the minutes. He's got 39 minutes the last two games. He's playing the three, and he also can play the backup four as well. He's really versatile on the court. So, you know, over 40 Fanduel points the last – still is upside of that price. Right now, I'm not going to use him in cash, but, man, I really do love that play. Harrison Barnes – nothing sexy, but super safe. Same with Jay Crowder. They're similar in price, right around that 6K range. You can both those guys are very fine for cash games. I like Crowder more, obviously, if Avery Bradley is out. Ariza, I always team up. I have one Harden and Ariza lineup because every three that Ariza makes is going to be due to an assist by Harden. Then you got under 5K. You got some bums. PJ Tucker, I've already did my rant on him. You got the Bays. Bazemore, while Seth Velocha has destroyed his value. But tournaments, you still can do it. CJ Miles, very intriguing play here at 4.1K. And yes, you also can Google CJ Miles as well. If he gets the start, even if he doesn't, at that price, he's probably going to get 24 minutes. So that in that high over-under game, that intrigues me. Also, Jaylen Brown's 3.6K. If he starts and if Avery Bradley is out, that's a nice punt. He can get you 20 Fanduel points at that price. All right, power forward, Paul Millsap. Millsap has really struggled lately. If you're watching at the Atlanta Hawks Celtics games, or Celtics, they're playing the Celtics. But if you're watching at the Atlanta games the last, I don't know, week or so, and before the All-Star break, quite honestly, too, Millsap will go a quarter and a half without touching the ball. It can be infuriating. I watch the games. I scream at the TV. Not even a scream. I say, Paul's open. Because they never pass him the ball. Like Schroeder never passes him the ball. You know, Hardaway Jr. doesn't pass to anyone. I don't even know who else even scores for Atlanta. I don't even know. But all I know is Millsap is not – his usage rate isn't like hovering in the low 20s. It's painful. But the price has come down. Great matchup. Boston has – you can attack Boston bigs. they have no one to defend Millsap. So you can't do it in cash games, but for tournaments, he's in a really good spot. Saric, same as I said for Covington. Right now, Philly, especially without Embiid, it's the Covington and Saric show. So even though Saric's price has skyrocketed up to 7K, I don't mind it. And I don't mind teaming up Saric and Covington in the same lineup. Like I said, if that game stays close, those two both can give you 40, 45 Vando points. But that's seven, eight times their salary still. Or maybe it's not that much. It has to be, what, six times their salary? Six, seven times their salary? So even though he's expensive now, he still has upside. Would I do it in cash? Same approach to Kupfer that I have for Covington probably. I probably will stay away in cash games as of now and use them only in single entry and tournaments. Dirk just doesn't have enough upside for me to play. So again, the cash game's okay, but not a tournament play. Ibaka, if Lowry's out, yeah, Ibaka's in another really good spot. He's got the Knicks. And why can't he give me at least 30 to 40 Fanduel points against the Knicks? The Knicks are atrocious defending bigs. So, and especially if Porzingis is a sneaky good defender. So if Porzingis is out, last game they started, I don't even remember who the Knicks started. I think they started with Lance Thomas and Hernan Gomez at the 4 and 5. So Ibaka should be a nice safe play with some upside if Lowry's out. If Lowry plays, I don't know if Ibaka has the upside to really use him in a tournament. My sneaky ninja of the day is probably going to be Nerlens Noel, 5.9K. Dallas needs him. They need him to defend Whiteside on Monday. They also need him to cover Dirk because Dallas has been playing Dirk a lot at the five. Like, that can't happen. Dirk can't defend anyone anymore. So Nerlens, to me, he played 30 minutes in Dallas' first game. He didn't even start. He's going to get at least 30 minutes, probably 35 to 40, and all the rebounds in the world. And he's going to get some easy putback dunks and some he's good in the pick and roll. So to me, fair price with some upside, and he'll be low owned. I like Nerlens Noel a lot. Michael Beasley, 5.5K. Sign me up. With Hilton out resting, Beasley should be safe for all formats. Now I know it's Beasley, so a lot of us don't trust him for cash. And if you don't, so I get it. If you don't, you don't want to use him for cash. That's fine. But could he be in the winning GPP lineup on Monday? Absolutely. So I'm gonna have a lot of Beasley. Then you got Channing Frye, Thaddeus Young. They're okay. Thaddeus Young in that up and down game, I'll have exposure to for sure. Willie Cauley-Stein, I like him because he's coming off of a bad game, and he does have upside. He only had 12 Fanduel points last game. So in two games without Cousins, it's been 12 and 40. That's a big range. Where's that scream? Doesn't scream cash game. Screams tournament play. So tournaments, absolutely. Also, from Minnesota, he's too athletic for Gorgie Dang. And Towns, I'm not sure who's going to be guarding him. I guess it would be Towns who would be guarding Willie Cauley-Stein. And Towns is a horrendous defender. Willie Cauley-Stein isn't a good spot to me. Probably tournaments only, but he does have upside. Ryan Anderson, they're giving us Ryan Anderson for free, so let's just take advantage. I think at his price of 4.8K. Safe for all formats. Even if he puts up a dud and shoots like 3 for 12, which he's easily capable of doing, he's still probably going to get you like 15, 16 Fanduel points. And that's not going to kill your lineup. And if he's making his shots, he's going to get you, 30, 35 Fanduel points. Now, yes, for some bizarre reason, if you look at his splits, he's a much better shooter on the road. On Monday, he plays at home. Is that going to dissuade me from playing him? No, it will not. I don't know why he can't shoot at home, but he's going to make shots one of these days. So he's okay for cash. I think a really good tournament play. Other than that, under 5K, Rashawn Holmes is intriguing to me. Everyone loved him last game because he was coming off like a 39 Fanduel point night, but he only scored 39 Fanduel points because Okafor got in foul trouble. Okafor did not get in foul trouble last game, and Holmes then gave you 16 minutes and 16 Fanduel points. There's good news and bad news. The good news is he's about a fantasy point per minute guy. The bad news is Coach Brown doesn't give him a lot of minutes some days. In real life, he actually is a better player than Okafor. So Coach Brown should be giving him more minutes. But because of the there's just volatility in the minutes, you can't use him in cash games, I don't think. At least I don't think you'd want to. And I'm not sure what the upside is. It all depends on Coach Brown. So let's all DM Coach Brown together and see how many minutes he's going to give Holmes. I will play Holmes a little bit in some tournaments because, again, this Golden State Philly game, one, let's say it is a blowout. Who's going to get minutes? Holmes. So even, and let's say it stays close. Maybe Okafor gets in foul trouble. Maybe Coach Brown gives him minutes. So either way, you're kind of covered here with Holmes. And I think it's intriguing. So if I have 10 lineups, I could see Holmes being in like two or three of them, quite honestly. All right, center. Towns is 10.6K. I just don't have the salary to play him in cash games. I do think he's a really good matchup against Karl-Anthony against Willie Cauley-Stein. So yeah, he should be fine. He's been tremendous as of late. He destroyed Houston's last game out. So that somewhat worries me that his ownership is going to be a little bit high due to recency bias. But you can't go wrong playing Towns these days. Whiteside, if this is a week ago, I'd be pretty intrigued by this play because Dallas can't rebound. Or they couldn't rebound. Now they have Noel. That's a much better defender. So Whiteside's going to have a somewhat of a difficult matchup here. And he's expensive. So I wouldn't do it in cash games. Tournaments, it's okay. Dwight Howard, to me, this is safe for all formats. Atlanta at Boston. So, man, I've made a living attacking Boston bigs. Dwight Howard's too cheap. Even if he only plays like 30 minutes, how could he not give me 30, 35 FanDuel points? You know, normally these days he's only a cash game play because he doesn't have monster upside. But occasionally he flashes it, and if he's going to do it, it would be against a team like Boston, where you have someone like Al Horford trying to defend him, who stands by the 35 feet away from the hoop. So I think Dwight's in a position to put up some big numbers. The one caveat I just mentioned: Al Horford standing 35, 40 feet away from the hoop, that also brings Dwight away from the hoop. So maybe some of those rebounds that Dwight would normally get, they go to someone like Millsap, which makes Millsap a little more intriguing as well. I'm gonna have to think a little bit more about Howard. Although either way, Howard to me, I'm gonna have some exposure, but it does worry me because every time you watch the Celtics play, I mean, Horford gets farther and farther away from the hoop. I'm telling you, one time you were gonna be watching that game, he's gonna be standing like 55, but he's gonna be at half court. It's something to see. It does space the floor for Isaiah. That's about all it does. Miles Turner, 6.5K. Man, do I love this play for tournaments. Quite honestly, even for cash, I think this might be okay. Normally, Turner is not a cash game play. He's played pretty well since the All-Star break. And now he gets Houston. I went all in on Towns against Houston because Houston has this, you know, the Harrell, Clint Capella, Nene threesome at center, who they're all deficient in certain areas. And Turner is similar to Towns in some way. Now, obviously, he doesn't have the same skills in terms of a post-up game, but he can take the ball on the perimeter. He's super athletic, can get up and down in a fast-paced game. He also can bury like a 15 to 17-foot jumper. So to me, Turner can abuse these Houston guys. This is a really good spot for him. He could put up a 40, 45 FanDuel point night. Man, I will have a lot of exposure to Turner. After that, Triscuit. I mentioned Horford. I mean, Horford's so cheap now, 6.1K. But the problem is, man, he just doesn't do anything these days. They're not using him offensively. He doesn't get rebounds because he's so far away from the hoop. He's not even initiating much offense lately. So, I mean, I think one day Horford's going to have a big game. I just don't know when. And right now you can't trust it. Hernan Gomez, 5.9K. Safe for all formats. He's a fancy point-per-minute monster. I like Hernan Gomez and O'Quinn on this slate. I'm not sure what the prices are on DraftKings. On FanDuel, I like both of them. On DraftKings, if their prices are reasonable, I could play them both in the same lineup maybe. Okafor, his price is jacked up to 5.7K. He had 141 FanDuel point night, and then FanDuel jacked his price up. It's only, and if that game stays close, he did look good in his last game. That's probably the best I've seen him play in his career. He was he destroyed the Knicks, but you heard what I just said, right? He destroyed the Knicks. Everyone destroys the Knicks centers. So, you know, can he take advantage of Golden State? Golden State, they can't rebound. So on paper, if somehow Philly keeps that game close, Could you do like a Saric, Covington, Okafor lineup? I guess, but out of those three, Okafor is by far my least favorite of the Saric, Covington, Okafor. He's my least favorite of the three. Valanciunas, Casey's just not giving him enough minutes these days because he's playing Ibaka at the five now, so that's super frustrating. Clint Capella, Carlo Quinn. Yeah, I really do like Carlo Quinn, even if he doesn't start. I mean, last game he played 25 minutes and he had 35 FanDuel points. I mean, both Hernan Gomez and O'Quinn, they're just fantasy point-per-minute monsters. O'Quinn's been that way his whole career. So, safe for all formats. O'Quinn, maybe in O'Quinn you don't want to use O'Quinn for cash games, but tournaments, absolutely. He's a monster upside. And lastly, I guess Zaza's back now, so you can't use JaVale McGee, and I wouldn't use Zaza either. And that's about it. All right, that's it. That's the slate. We got through it. Judge needs to go to bed. It is super freaking late. I'm exhausted. If you have any questions, tweet at me at DanielAGreen1. Otherwise, if you guys are very nice, maybe around 5, 6 p.m. Eastern time, I will release an audio version, a quick little 5-10 minute clip of giving you my top plays based on all the injury news and whatever shakes down on Monday. Other than that, for me and the bailiff, court is adjourned.